Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Sports Radio, 99 The Game. Welcome back into the John Chuckery Show. One more hour to go, then we'll give it over to Amy Lawrence. 404-741-0929 is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. We ask you to download the radio.com app because that's how you listen to the radio station when you're outside the vehicle. We know you're not in your car as often. Probably not in it right now, but how do I listen to the station and your show? Simple, radio.com app. Put that on your device. Take that smartphone, those Alexa speakers, that tablet, that boombox, your 8-track player, your pager, your Coleco, your Atari 2600, whatever you have for a device, just download it onto something that way you can catch us when you're on the go. Social media is at 929TheGame, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Follow us there. Oh, put it on your pinball machine, too, if you need to find a device to download it on. Hit me up on Twitter. It's the best way to reach us on the show is through our personal Twitter handles. Reach me at JMCH316, at JMCH316. That, of course, your water cooler talking points 3 to 6 months in advance of anybody else that is out there. He's in Midtown. He's producing the show, hanging out with us here on an early AM as well. Jarvis is in the building at JarvisD90. So we got our obligatory press conference today from Rich McKay and Arthur Blank and talking about the decisions that were made to relieve Dan Quinn. By the way, Arthur put out a statement Sunday night. And I said I thought Dan would be fired by 8:30. He was fired at 9:50. I know he sent the ticket holders a statement first. Arthur put out a statement about the release that was like 9 paragraphs long and the most convoluted, nonsensical thing I've seen. And it really just made, when I started reading, I was like, none of this makes any sense. Just say that, you know, due to circumstances where our football team has underperformed as an organization, you know, I'm relieving my head coach and GM of their duties. But he had all these little soliloquies and thanking Dan and all this. Man, that's not the time. You're putting out a release that says we're moving on. You can throw bouquets at Dan and all that kind of stuff later. But you're moving on. And it's a prime example, folks. You know, when I talk about there's so much fundamentally wrong with this organization. It's not just a Dan thing. It's not just a Thomas thing. You have an organization that can't get out of its own way no matter what it does. Even when they put out a statement to announce the releasing of their coach and general manager, it's still convoluted and way too rambling and just didn't make a lot of sense. And I read that and I was like, why do we need all this? Why do I need 9 paragraphs right now? But that's how they do things. That's how they do things. All right, let's get to some clips here. Let's hear from, let's start with Arthur Blank as he describes what he's looking for in a new coach.
There's a number of coaches around the NFL who are not available, who we all know are really difference makers, and we have to find our own version of that. If you don't find a version of that, what you find is somebody who's going to play 500 ball. And this is not a 500 ball organization. It's not a 500 ball team. And it's not what we promised our fans.
Well, yeah. I mean, they can't. I don't even know how much that they can interview. I don't think you can. even talk to coaches that are still under contract and with their organization and things like that. I'm sure that they have a list of candidates that they are starting to put together. I mean, that more than anything is that they'll do, and I hate to say it this way, they'll do their background checks and things like that of guys they want to interview, right? They'll get the FBI involved, and you know they'll have a background check to this guy and this guy and that guy and just make sure everything lines up before they start bringing guys in to interview them. So, yeah, I mean, you can't talk to guys, you know, right now. We'll talk a little bit more about, you know, where I think they should go coming up in the next segment, but, I mean, that's about as good as Arthur can answer in a question like that. Here's Arthur Blank talking about Matt Ryan.
I love Matt, much like I love, you know, Dan. I love Thomas. Matt's been a, you know, franchise leader for us, a great quarterback, one of the leading quarterbacks in the last 13 years in the NFL. So I hope he's going to be part of our plans going forward, but that'll be a decision that I won't make. You know, Matt has the ability to play at a very high level, even at this age. Whether that's going to continue or not, I'm not sure. I appreciate his willingness to consider doing that and the level of what he's played for us for 13 years, which has been incredible. So I will have to see. But then again, that's going to be a decision at the end of the day. That'll be part of it be up to the player and part of it be up to the coaching staff and whether or not, you know, Matt can keep himself together and God willing, he'll be able to do that and play at the level that he's capable of playing at.
Well, the reality is that Matt's contract makes it prohibitive from both trading him and releasing him. And I personally don't think Matt Ryan's going to go anywhere. And I think that there are a lot of head coaches that would still look at this organization and say, okay, even if it's not for the long, long term, at least I have a quarterback that I can win with right now. At least I have a guy under center that I can win with right now. I don't feel like I'm going into this where I don't have any bullets in my chamber. What Matt needs is the right coaching around him to put him in a position to succeed. And I really do think, and this is, you know, again, the Matt Ryan haters will call me out for this, but I do think part of what Matt's problem is right now is that he is pushing, that this is an offense that's really struggling right now. This is an offense that can't find an identity, and I think he's pushing. I think when you watch him throw the football, he's pushing. He's pushing right now. Now, yeah, it'll be up to the next coach, but is the next, you know, what's the next GM going to do? Just cut Matt and then eat $50 million of dead money? That's not going to happen. Not going to happen. So, you know, if you told me Matt Ryan, you know, only had maybe a couple more years with the Atlanta Falcons, okay, I could probably start to believe that now, that they may look for a way out. But his contract right now, it's too prohibitive. He's $41 million on the cap. You trade that, who's going to pick that up? Who's picking that money up on the contract? You cut him, he's 50-something million dollars of dead money. You're not going to eat up a third of your cap just to cut one guy like that. All right, here's Arthur talking about letting go of Dan Quinn and Thomas Dimitrov.
No, I mean, the answer to that is that we're back to 2016, 6 years ago, we made the coach with made the change with Coach Smith. Thomas was kept on at that point. There were a lot of reasons for that, which are not important now, but that was the right decision at that point. We think this is the right decision at this point. So it's very difficult to, as everybody on this call is you know a genius in this regard. But the business is very complex. Where a player start and where the you know scheme start and where the coaching starts and where it ends, where each of those start and end, you know, it becomes increasingly difficult to separate them. And I think we felt that we had given both gentlemen a long period of time to create, you know, the winning environment that we promised ourselves and promised our fans, and they both haven't done it. So it was the right decision for them both in this case.
Well, I'll say that you could question very much whether or not it was the right decision to keep Thomas, you know, when they fired Mike Smith. That goes back to that was one of the more awkward press conferences I've ever seen in my entire life when you're going back to all of that. I understand. When you draft Julio Jones and Matt Ryan and it's turned your organization around, you don't necessarily want to just get rid of the guy who made those decisions because what if he's got a couple of more of those in him? The problem is he really hasn't had many more of those in him. He certainly hasn't had anybody at Matt or Julio's level. Have they had good draft picks? Yes. But when you look at, it's great to have Grady in the fifth round. He's outplayed himself. But if you're going to draft in the first and second round, and that's supposed to be the cornerstone of your franchise, and you miss on those picks, then, yeah, that's where people are going to evaluate you first on all of it. Like I said, I'm a little bit surprised he let Thomas Dimitroff go right now. If he told me he would let him go in the offseason, I could see that. But I guess, if you're going to start cleaning house, just go ahead and start cleaning house. We'll talk in the next segment. I'm not convinced that that should be the last of the firings, but, we'll get to that in a little bit. Here's Arthur talking about if Raheem Morris is going to get a chance to become the future head coach.
Absolutely. If Raheem ends up 11-0, he's going to be certainly a candidate. So, I mean, that's what his aspiration is. And I said this to him. It's nothing to do with the timing or whatever, but we were chatting. I said, often my experience with interim head coaches has been no more than three games. It was one when Dan Reeves left earlier than, as Rich mentioned, when Bobby Petrino left. And so it was only a matter of three games. This is, I think, unusual, 11 games to go. So I think it's to Raheem's advantage. I know his aspirations long-term are to be a head coach again. He's learned a lot since his Tampa Bay days. He's learned a lot with us, and I'm sure he's more mature and more polished and more finished and aspirationally and technically. So I think in 11 games he'll have a chance to show, his own capabilities. And I think he's looking forward to that.
All right, after the first 10 seconds of that clip, the rest of that's just garbage. I mean, the rest of that's just nonsense. When he said, if he goes 11-0, he'll have a chance to be. That tells you right there that they have no desire to hire Raheem Morris. And frankly, and this is where we get into this thing. Does it make Raheem Morris a bad guy or Dirk Cutter a bad guy? But if you want to wipe the stench off of you, wipe it clean. Wipe it clean. With all due respect to Raheem Morris, there's no reason to consider him as a potential head coach for this. If you're going to clean house with everybody. Now, the reality is, they have 11 games left. Somebody has to coach these guys. You can't fire the head coach and general manager and all the coaching staff and all the player personnel people and have nobody in the office on a day-to-day business when you still have to operate as an NFL franchise for these next 11 weeks. Or 11 games, I guess I should say, for all of it. So take the first 10 seconds of that clip about Raheem Morris, and if he goes 11-0, and then stop it there. Because the rest of it's a bunch of junk. It's just Arthur in coach speak and talk speak and owner speak, and it doesn't really mean anything at the end of the day. So, frankly, like I said, if you're going to clean house, just clean house on everything. Here's Rich McKay talking about the possibility of trading veterans to amass draft picks.
No, that is not. Last year we made one trade, right? And it was a trade that we thought was in the best interest of the player. It was definitely in our best interest, we thought, and we executed that trade. If somebody came to us with a trade for a player and it made sense to us, it was in that player's interest, our best interest, and we could do it, would we consider it? Maybe. And that's something we would look at. But this will not be a situation where we're going to predetermine the roster for the next head coach and general manager.
Well, I agree. You can't just gut your football team. I mean, as much as people want to say, "Oh, well, trade Matt, trade who?" Okay, you can't gut your football team. And no team in the NFL is just going to arbitrarily gut their football team like that. Oh, trade Matt, trade Julio, trade Grady, trade. I saw everybody. Like, there's literally like every single player on the roster. People were like, "Ah, trade this guy, trade him, trade this guy." Okay, then what are you going to do for players? Because you're not going to rebuild your whole roster into Pro Bowlers in a year. You better have a core of some guys that you can start with that you can build around. Or you'll be in a perpetual free fall of talent. It's like the Marlins. If you just keep getting rid of Yelich and Ozuna and, this guy and JT Realmuto, you can't just draft your way into, we replace all those guys. I mean, frankly, with all due respect, the Marlins, while they made the playoffs, they've never replaced the talent of Yelich, Ozuna, Realmuto, and those guys. They haven't replaced the talent level of those guys. They replaced players, and they got a playoff season out of it. But they haven't replaced talent. They haven't replaced those players. So you can't just gut your football roster like that. I know that's what people want, but it just doesn't work that way. All right, here's Rich McKay talking about letting the next coach, GM, make staff player decisions, et cetera.
I'm not avoiding the question. It may sound like it, but I think I agree with Arthur that you can't begin to look at the roster in that way and try to tie the hands of the next people that are going to lead this franchise, the head coach and the general manager. They'll make those determinations. We're all disappointed we're sitting here right now at 0-5 with this roster. No question. But we have a lot of good football players. So they'll determine what mix of those players should stay on the roster going forward and what mix shouldn't. So I'm not the one that's going to answer that question for them. I'm going to do just what Arthur said, listen to them, and then see where we go from there.
Well, again, it goes back to you can't just gut your roster, and we're going to talk about Rich coming up in the next segment. I appreciate Rich, and he's done a lot for the organization and stuff like that. There's no reason for him to be picking anybody. There's no reason for him to be here picking guys. But literally, if you get rid of Rich, you don't have anybody in your football organization. Because who's going to make any decision? You literally don't have anybody in your football organization to make a decision. So, all right, we're going to go. We're going to play the last Rich McKay clip when we get back, and we're also going to talk about moving forward, about what this franchise needs to do. It's all next. Chuck Rich Show, Sports Radio 929 The Game, and on the Radio.com app. Sports Radio 929 The Game, back with you on the John Chuck Rich Show. Head of the top of the hour, Amy Lawrence will be coming up next. 404-741-0929. That's our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line, Radio.com app to catch the show on the go. Social media at 929 The Game. I'm at JMCH316. He's at JarvisD90. Going to do a What's Bugging Chuckery coming up in the next segment as well. A couple of things to get off my chest. I feel actually rather calm about the whole Falcon situation because, I mean, just kind of feels like that weight is off of us, right? That the idea of the coach and all that being gone and GM and everything. So, before we talk about moving forward, let's talk about let's get one more clip in here from Rich McKay. We were listening to some of these clips in the last segment. Here's him talking about with going with Raheem Morris despite performance defensive, despite how bad the defense has played.
I would say that on the defensive side, we're all disappointed with the defensive numbers and the productivity, no question. I think for us, we had to look for the leader that we felt the players could follow and would follow. And that was going to be Raheem. And that was because of the connection he has with those players. He's been on the offensive side. He knows our offensive players. He knows our defensive players. I think the blame, if you want blame for the defensive statistics to date, go all around. I think the players would be the first to say to you that they might put their hands up. And it also goes, we've had some real injuries in the secondary. Not an excuse. Everybody has injuries. But I think in our case, we looked at all those factors and felt like Raheem was the right fit.
Yeah, I mean, does it really matter who the Falcons put in as interim head coach for right now? To me, it really doesn't matter. I mean, it was either going to be Raheem Morris or Jeff Ulbrich. I mean, we're not going to put Dirk Cutter in as the interim head coach, but does it matter? I mean, in all honesty, I really don't care. I mean, I didn't really care who they were going to announce through all this. All right, fine. It was Raheem Morris. Okay. It's not going to make a difference this year. This season is lost. But let's talk about, you know, as we move forward here, okay? So I kind of said in the last segment, you know, I don't want Rich McKay picking the next coach and GM and all those kinds of things. Did he do a good job in getting Thomas in here? Yes. But he's also the guy that was Bobby Petrino and this, that, and the other. And frankly, I don't think Rich is part of the solution. I think he's part of the culture. You know, and we tie this into the Braves that, you know, it's the Terry McGurk, the John Schuerholz, the Bobby Cox, you know, the string pullers behind the scenes. And unfortunately, all of that filters down into the organization. It's the same thing with the Falcons. You know, with Arthur and Rich and that's the string pull, it's going to filter down. I mean, honestly, Rich is an executive who should be the NFL commissioner or the athletic director for Southern Cal or some high-level job like that. But I don't want Rich McKay selecting the general manager and input, and I know he was the guy that they were, you know, Dan and Thomas were answering to. To me, the days of Rich McKay in day-to-day football operations are over. But, unfortunately, there's literally nobody else in the organization that you have in place that would be ready to take over anything or can make these kinds of decisions. So you're pretty much stuck with Rich for that reason. But me, if I was cleaning house, I'd have cleaned out everybody. Everybody. And if that means, you know, Arthur's got to show back up in the office for a few weeks and do some interviews himself, then so be it. I think the fans would appreciate that. Because it feels like when these decisions are lingering and they don't happen, that Arthur's disconnected. Whereas in the past, it felt like he was immensely connected with the franchise. Now, I'm not so sure. Now, people keep asking me a couple of things. One is they ask me about head coach. Okay, here's what I'll say. I think they need to go offensive-minded. I think they need to find an offensive-minded head coach because that's where the assets still are. And if that's Eric Bieniemy, fine. I got no problem with that. Honestly, if that's Lincoln Riley, if that's Todd Day, I'm fine with that too. I really am at this point. I mean, I'm willing to try and roll the dice on something different. If that's the young up-and-coming coordinator in the NFL, fine, do that. Okay? I do want to know what organization he's coming from, though. You know, because I said when Dan came over from Seattle, oh, look what Dan did with that defense. What did he do with that defense? That's Pete Carroll's defense. That's always been. Same thing with Gus Bradley. Was that Gus Bradley's defense or was that Pete Carroll's defense? Oh, it was Pete. So I do want to know who we're talking about, what organization that we're talking about that they're coming from. But short of that, I think it's offensive-minded. And honestly, if you want to look in the college ranks, fine. Look in the college ranks. I'm open to those ideas. I'm open to those ideas. So that's number one. Number two is the roster. Well, you're not cutting Grady Jarrett. Like I said, you got to have players. You got to have some players. You're not just going to start with a – because, again, none of y'all say that you want to rebuild, but you don't want to spend the next 8 or 10 years watching dreadful football with this franchise. You don't. You may think you want to, or I don't think you want to, but you may. You may. You know, it's not that easy to find, you know, top-flight players and just rebuild your roster. Look at the Browns. Yeah, it's cool. The Browns are 4-1. They've been back in the league for 21 years. How about 18 of those years, of those 21 years, how good was it? And trust me, you hire the wrong people, you can be that organization. Look at the Jets. People laugh at Mark Sanchez and Rex Ryan. Hell, you don't think they'd kill to have those guys right now? They were in the AFC title game 2 years in a row. The AFC title game 2 years in a row. And I'm not even saying that Rex Ryan's a great coach, and certainly Mark Sanchez is not a good quarterback, but hell, they'd kill for those results right now. Wouldn't you kill to make fun of a coach and quarterback that got you multiple times in the game to play in the Super Bowl? Of course you would, because the NFL's all about results. So I don't think Matt's going anywhere. I don't think Matt needs to go anywhere. Somebody asked me on Twitter, would I draft Trevor Lawrence if they have the number one pick? Probably. If I'm drafting, hell, I might as well draft Trevor Lawrence and see what I can do with it. But, you know, Matt, realistically, Matt's contract is very prohibitive. He's got $41 million for the cap next year, $41.5 million for the cap the following year. You know, if they cut him loose, it's 50-something million on the cap for dead money. How are you gonna eat that kind of money? You can only spread that money out so much. You can only take some of the hit now, some of the hit later, so much of that. At some point, the check comes due and all that, and it's like, oh, well, I can't get anybody on my roster. Now, the one guy, and we talked about this, I guess, last week or the week before, whatever it was, I would realistically start to entertain offers on Julio Jones. And I said last week, at best, Julio Jones is an Atlanta Falcon the rest of this year, and he's an Atlanta Falcon next year. And then that's it. And then I think Julio's days as a Falcon are done. Short of a trade, I think Julio's days after next year are done as an Atlanta Falcon. It's just too cost prohibitive, okay? It's just not the investment. They have a number one wide receiver. They can make do. You can find wide receivers. I understand Julio's this, that, and the other, but I just don't see the reward investment anymore in Julio. And I think the injuries that you're seeing now with Julio are going to be more long-term and problematic. I don't think it's going to get better all of a sudden. You know, Randy McMichael and I talked a couple of years ago about Julio Jones and what would he look like at 31. Because I said I think Julio will look like an old 31. 31's not old, but he'll look like an old 31. I think that's where Julio's headed. And they're going to have to, you know, so those are your main guys. Jake Matthews doesn't need to go anywhere. You know, you're going to probably pick up some salary cap next year with Alex Mack because you're not going to have a $10 million center. But I think the one guy that you could start to look at and see if there's some movement in the league would be Julio Jones. And I understand he's the best player in franchise history and this, that, and the other. But I just think that given his position and given where this football franchise is now, that I just think that he makes the most sense that if I'm going to convert salary into somewhere else, then that's where it starts. But Matt's not going anywhere. Matt's probably not going anywhere for at least the next 2 to 3 years. I mean, he's just not. You know, would I trade down in the draft if I have the number one overall pick? Yeah, I mean, I would consider that. I mean, if I have to draft and I can't get the deal that I want, then I'm taking Trevor Lawrence because he's the best player. He's the best player at the best position in college football. I mean, you have to do that. And then hopefully, you know, at that point, if I can get a year or two out of him, then maybe I figure out a way to, you know, move on from Matt after maybe 2 or 3 years when the money gets a little bit more realistic because you won't have to pay Trevor Lawrence too much money. But, yeah, those are some hard decisions that are going to have to be made. Those are some hard things that the Falcons are going to have to look at is, okay, what do we do with this, that, and the other? But I don't. You're not just going to gut all of your, because everybody's like, oh, well, trade this guy, trade that. All right, well, Gurley's on a one-year deal, so he may not be here next year. Alex Mack's at the end of his line, he may not be here next year. I mean, there are guys that you know, the check's coming due, and, you know, you got to decide. Keanu Neal is a $6.5 million safety. He doesn't have to be here next year. So there's money to be found, and you can always find money, you know, in the NFL, but you're not gonna, why would you gut and cut Grady Jarrett? He's one of the cornerstones of your franchise. I mean, you have to have some players. You can't just find and replace Grady Jarrett. They may never draft another defensive lineman that plays as good as Grady Jarrett. Maybe ever, at least in our lifetime. I mean, look how many quarterbacks the Browns have drafted in the last 20 years. And, I mean, Baker's a nice player, and they're winning games finally. But, you know, have they found, you know, any superstar quarterback? I mean, I think people would argue about whether or not Baker Mayfield's even a star. He may be a star personality, but is he a star football player? So it's just not easy to just gut your roster and think that, well, we'll just go back, you know, we'll just draft all these guys. What happens if you don't get the GM right? And he can't draft. And they end up taking things like Michael Booker with first round picks, or Jimmy Williams with first or second round picks. Then what are you going to do when those are the kinds of guys that get drafted? Then you're stuck. Sam Baker's a first round draft pick. Okay. Had one good year in his free agent walk year, and that's all you got out of him. But me personally, you know, Rich would not be the guy I'd want running my organization forward and making those kinds of decisions. But if there's one guy on the roster that I would start to explore, it would be Julio. Julio would be the guy at his position and his cost, and not knowing what his long-term health prognosis is. As I said, I think he's getting to be, you know, I think he's going to be an old, early 30s type of guy. So we'll see. I mean, there's nothing going to happen. I mean, you got Raheem Morris. You're not going to get any news or tidbits or anything like that before the end of the season. Because at this point, you're just trying to play out your string and trying to get your games in and start evaluating and start to get some evaluations about the roster from the inside. I watched the Fox guys yesterday and watched another broadcast, and every single one of them says they have too much talent to be this bad. Well, yeah, I agree. And that's the problem. That's the problem. Why is this organization so dysfunctional with the talent that they have? I mean, if Matt Ryan retired today, there would be people that would vote for him to go to the Hall of Fame. He's had that kind of career. You know, I mean, if Julio Jones retires today, he probably at some point gets in the Hall of Fame. It's not been a talent problem. All right, when we get back, we'll talk a little bit more about the Braves and their victory this evening, and we'll get to a What's Bugging Chuckery. It's all next. John Chuckery Show here on Sports Radio 910 The Game and on the Radio.com app. Sports Radio 910 The Game, John Chuckery Show. Here with you on this early Tuesday, top of the hour, Amy Lawrence going to take things over, and she'll get you led into the morning show, 404-741-0929. That's our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Also, to the Radio.com app, so you catch us on the go. And, of course, don't forget our social media at 910 The Game, and me at JMCH316, and he's at JarvisD90. We'll get to What's Bugging Chuckery here in just a couple of minutes. Braves, of course, 5-1 winners tonight, game one of the NLCS. Take care of business against the vaunted L.A. Dodgers, as Max Fried was outstanding tonight. Bullpen was outstanding as well in that matchup. Boy, the Saints, by the way, too. How fortunate did they get in a game that went into overtime? They found a way to get a win, stopping the Chargers on what, a fourth down? I think it was a fourth down conversion for all of it out there. So Saints, unfortunately, get a win. Now all three teams are 3-2 in the division, ahead of the Falcons, who sit at 0-5 out there. But can't say enough of good things about the Braves. They did it a couple of different ways. They did it with a mix of some home runs, a couple of home runs in the game. They did it with a mix of knocking in guys and playing some station-to-station baseball and moving runners along. You know, Dansby had a steal last night, you know, in it. That was good. You know, the Braves are going to have to get creative. They're going to have to use their guys and put them on the run and get them out and start using their legs and their speed and things like that, because, you know, it's going to be tough to just sit back and try to wallop, you know, your way through all of this. So now we'll see what, you know, we'll see if we get, you know, good Clayton Kershaw. Do they get, you know, the Clayton Kershaw that's had his postseason issues and such like that? So, you know, we'll see what happens with all this tomorrow night. You know, I think it's going to be a fun series, you know, to watch every game. You know, this was a game tonight that had lots of drama to it. You know, there's, you know, kind of slowed down through some of the middle innings as, you know, as the pitchers kind of got underway. Braves had some opportunities and some chances to open the game up and take the lead, and they couldn't do it. Remember, they started off 0-10 is how they started, with runners in scoring position, and then, you know, they explode for four runs in the ninth inning, and that's all she wrote to it as 5-1 winners. Unfortunately, Max Fried did not get the win for how well he pitched. Will Smith picked up the win tonight, but more than anything is that the Dodgers, you know, go down, the Braves find a way to win and take a 1-0 series lead with six, what did Jarvis say, 6 o'clock tonight is game two. Yeah, and game two on FS1. So back to the searching around and finding where that is. So, all right, let's get to something we call What's Bugging Chuckery.
Don't look now, but somebody out there just got Chuckery ticked off. Like, that's hard.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
It's time for What's Bugging Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
So, you know, and this is why nobody likes the media, right? I guess tonight on Twitter, Walker Buehler's pants was a thing that was trending on Twitter. I didn't see. I didn't. Certainly not even paying attention, you know, to all of it. But I guess they say that, you know, because of the tight and the short pants that he was wearing during his start tonight. So one of the questions that was asked of him at the press conference by Michael Duarte, who is he covers L.A. sports for NBC L.A., he asked him about his pants and why this was trending. And Buehler had the right answer. Not the time or place, Michael, was his response. Not the time or place. And then, you know, after waiting a couple seconds, see if there's any other questions, you know, we had that awkward silence. He got up and left. What would inspire you? If you're the guy for NBC covering these local teams and you have this huge moment, why is one of the first things that you want to know about is Walker Buehler's pants that are trending? But that's the society we live in. You know, these quote-unquote journalists, you know, the blue check marks of Twitter that are just absurd, you just scratch your head. You know, in all honesty, they should have given Walker Buehler a baseball, and he should have thrown it at the guy for asking such a stupid question. And I'm not saying that every media guy is bad out there, but the problem is, here's a guy who's covering, you know, L.A. sports for NBC. Covers all the teams. And this is what he's got, is what about the trending Walker Buehler pants? Right after the guys, you know, team heartbroken, you know, they lost. I think that was their first loss too, right? I think they were 5-0 coming into the night as well. It's just so dumb. Guys get so, they're just so dumb sometimes in the media. When I'm on Twitter, there's not a whole ton of media folks that I follow because it's so stupid. I mean, one is nowadays they're not even media people. They're opinion people. They, under the guise of being media, they put out their opinion on things. But why you would worry about asking about Walker Buehler's pants? Beyond me. Now, second part, because I saw that and I was like, ugh, what a dumb comment. Second part is, I'm glad he walked his statements back and tried to clarify, okay? Because he is such a good dude and nobody wants to see bad things for him. But Tony Dungy had a really dumb take on the NBC broadcast last night. If you didn't see yesterday, or Sunday now, I guess, at this point, since we're Tuesday. If you didn't see Dak Prescott, and he literally had a compound ankle fracture with a sprain, was just horrific to watch, okay? And carted off on a cart, and you saw, you know, his emotion. He was in tears. Just was awful to watch, you know, that injury out there for a guy who's played really, really well this particular season. Tony Dungy on the Sunday night pregame show on NBC said that, quote, as tough as this is for Dak Prescott, it might be a blessing in disguise for the Cowboys. They've got a good veteran quarterback who can make some plays, and this might cause them to get back to their old formula, lean on the running game, lean on Ezekiel Elliott, help that defense out by controlling the ball. You've still got wide receivers, and Andy Dalton's going to make some plays with those wide receivers. Okay. Coach, with all due respect, and you know, fortunately, he's kind of he kind of figured it out, that you got a guy that's playing as well as he has and has that type of gruesome injury, and your first thought is, well, this might be a blessing for the Cowboys. Oh, media guys, I'm telling you. You know, we joke about it, but it's just, how do I, and I love Tony Dungy, and like I said, I'm glad he kind of walked back. He even admitted it's probably a poor choice of words. But think about, where does that come from? To say it's a blessing in disguise to have your quarterback who's playing really well have his ankle just snap completely. That it's a blessing in disguise that he went down, huh? But that's, you know, that's where we're at. It's Tony Dungy's not really, you know, obviously he's not hot takey guy. He's not out there trying to be Mr. Hot Take or anything like that. But you just wonder where, like, some of this stuff comes from. Like he had to have been sitting around in the production meeting, you know, because he knew he was going to be asked about it. You know, he had to be sitting around the production meeting thinking to himself that, okay, maybe this is going to be good for the Cowboys. It's like, is it ever good when your, you know, star quarterback has his ankle snapped in half? I mean, literally, like, snapped in half. Speedy recovery to Dak Prescott. Hope all is well with him. He was going into surgery last night. But, listen, I'm not going to kill Tony Dungy too bad because he did walk some of it back. I think he understood that that was a ridiculous comment out there. But that's what we live in. We live in a society where we say these crazy things, or we got reporters at games that are worried about hashtags that refer to a pitcher's pants. 2020 for y'all. Oh, that's what's bugging Chuckery. All right, when we get back, we'll do the Love TKO, wrap things up here on this Tuesday morning. Of course, we'll be back with you later on this evening as well. Chuckery Show, Sports Radio, 910 The Game, on the radio.com app.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.